Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Here's another product review featured on Serotalk. To hear more great content like this, visit www.serotalk.com or find us on iBlink Radio via the Apple App Store or the Android Market.
Now speaking with Mike Calvo in our first of a four-part series, exposing our listeners to all the niceties and maybe gotchas of owning a MacBook. And Mike, you just acquired the MacBook Air. And you love the device,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do, actually. Sorry for the recording sound, Michael, if it sounds a little strange with my normal recording getup. I am actually at Guide Dog Training School. So if I sound a little strange to the listeners, that's exactly why. You may have a little more room ambience. But the cool thing about this device, Michael, is the MacBook Air. You know, for a long time, this device was looked at as really a laptop that people carried around that didn't do much with computers. It was kind of – it was very expensive. The earlier versions were very expensive. Its claim to fame was the laptop that could fit in a business envelope. And to that end, it's still like that. The shape of the device hasn't changed. It's very, very thin. It is actually as thin as an iPad, which brings us to one of the things that we're going to talk about during this this next few weeks is, wow, are we going to use a MacBook Air or are we going to use an iPad? And that's how we're going to wind this thing up at the end of the day. We're going to do four different things in the next 4 weeks. Today, we're going to just talk about the MacBook Air, talk about a few different features of it and what I like about it and why you may want to get one. Next week, we're going to talk about various cases and solutions for carrying it around. The week after that, while the MacBook Air has a really nice battery that lasts about 4.5 hours on Windows and about 5 hours on the MacBook, I mean, on the Lion side, it still doesn't compare to the 10 hours you get on an iPad. And there's some other caveats as well, but so we're going to want to power this thing when we're on the go, and we're going to, you know, also look at, you know, how we're going to carry technology with us, you know, for extra storage and things like that. And in the fourth week, we're going to ask the question, well, what is it, iPad or MacBook Air? And of course, along the way, you're welcome to submit questions. If I say something that you don't understand in one of these little talks we're having about this device, or if I leave you with some questions, please do send us questions, and we will be sure to answer them here. So to that end, the first thing about this device that I really like, of course, that everybody likes, is the size of it. And as I said before, it is the only computer that can actually fit into a business envelope. And when I say that, I mean it, people. You can put this thing in a regular FedEx package, not that you'd want to because it's not padded, but from the outside, you just can't tell what the heck it is. It's so thin. It's got to be, oh my gosh, about 1/2 inch thick maybe at one end. And what it does is it kind of tapers down so thin that you could probably literally sharpen the end of it and cut somebody with it. There's actually a YouTube video that's this guy cutting different vegetables and things with his MacBook Air, with the edge of his MacBook Air. I'll make sure we can get that in the notes because it's hilarious to watch, at least. I'm sure it's not too much for us to enjoy, but it is kind of a funky visual. The device is actually become quite powerful, and the prices come down. And I think that these are two important distinctions from earlier versions of the MacBook Air. If Apple was going to truly make this device the form factor that the world was going to be carrying, they needed to lower the price, they needed to make it stronger, make it more valuable for a consumer to carry around, and not so much just a bling thing that CEOs and executives carried that just wanted to have the latest and greatest toy, but really didn't do a lot of computing. The version that I have here is the 11.6-inch, and let's talk about first the latest 2011 version of the MacBook Air. They come in two different sizes. You've got the MacBook Air, which is the 13-inch, and the 11.6-inch. As a totally blind user, I just don't see the value in buying the more expensive one with the 13-inch. Now, you do get approximately 1/2 hour to 45 minutes more of battery life out of the larger device. again, it just didn't seem to be that important. When we talk about processors, they are equally on par. You can start as low as $999 for a 1.2 gigahertz processor with 2 gigs of RAM, with a 64 gig SSD. All of these MacBook Airs have SSDs. None of them have moving hard drives. So they're all solid state drives, very, very quiet. They boot incredibly fast. They boot into Windows pretty darn quick. And they boot into Lion. Oh gosh, it must take 10, 12 seconds to get into Lion. It takes about two times that, maybe two and a half times that, maybe 20 seconds or so, 25 seconds to get into Windows. But now, once you're in your operating system of choice, and I happen to have a dual boot on mine, so I'm not running VMware or anything. I'm running a boot camp installation, which allows me to run Windows in its native form and Lion in its native form in their own different operating environments and totally separate from one another. I can actually close the lid of my MacBook Air, and it will go to sleep, and I can open it up again, and within about 3 seconds, I can be not only back on my desktop, but it will also go ahead and connect to any known wireless network that's in the area. And that includes my 4G phone that it'll connect to and use that as a hotspot. So it is a very, very zippy reconnection process. The next thing that you'd want to know, of course, about this device is the audio from it. And the audio is actually very, very loud. When you look at what netbooks had to offer in the past and the speakers are very small on this device. In fact, the design for the speakers and the fan is very interesting. First of all, the fan, there is a fan in there, and you can hear it when the system does things like plays, heavy-duty, processor-intensive things like videos and, high-definition videos and things like that. The fan may kick in, and it is a fan, so it does kind of get a little loud, but not annoyingly so. The cool thing is that along where the hinge is, you've got little speaker grills that are buried back there that also act as kind of a heat sink or air dispersing areas for the fan. And that's it. This is one solid piece of metal. It's the unibody design. It's made of aluminum. And it's very, very nice feeling in the hand. You can hold it in one hand and kind of feel around and type in the other if you want to. I don't suggest you do that because you may drop your MacBook Air. But once you decide, okay, I'm going to get a MacBook Air, you decide I'm going to get the 11-inch. Well, then the next thing is you're going to deck it out, right? So the base configuration, as I said before, starts with $999. It is it's a 64 gig SSD with the 1.2 gigahertz processor and 2 gigs of RAM. Now, these things are all configurable. Okay, and the first thing let's talk about is the processor. You can buy a number of these, at least three different versions that I saw, or you can kind of have it customized. The version I bought, I was not able to buy at the Apple store, and I'll explain why in a second because of the combination of things. But the hard drive, first of all, the processor goes from a 1.2 gigahertz processor, Intel processor, of course. Then the next step up is a 1.7 gigahertz i3 processor with 3 megabytes of L2 cache for caching, and then the 1.8 i7 Intel processor with 4 megabytes of L2 cache, and that is real important. That 1 megabyte of cache really does make the difference. These are all dual core processors. I really don't think that people would really want the entry-level one. I mean, if you're going to do even just web browsing and stuff, you are going to watch the occasional YouTube video. And I'm running the 1.8 gigahertz version myself. And if the fan turns on there while I'm running a YouTube video, I can't even imagine how soon it starts running on the 1.2 gigahertz. Luckily, the price difference is not that huge, and you'll see when I tell you what the whole thing costs. But so the $999 machine, out the window. I wouldn't do that. Let's start decking it out. So let's first look at the processor. We're going to bring the processor up to a 1.8 gigahertz processor, the i7. Now, the next thing that you've got to choose is your SSD. Now, when it comes to Apple, all SSDs are not created equal. You've got the 64 gig SSD and the 128 gig SSD, and I forget the brand, but they are the same brand, and they're very zippy. They're very quick. And there's not a huge price difference between the two. I'd say there's about a $60 price difference or so, $100 price difference maybe between the two. You can go up to a 128 gig. Now, if you're going to go up to, and they do offer a 256 gig, be warned. A, you're going to pay $300 more. You're going to decrease the speed. Apple doesn't say that you decrease the speed. They never say that at the store, but if you look around and you read benchmarks that have been done in the industry, the fact is that the SSD, the 256 gig SSD, is slower. It's got a slower transfer rate, and it's $300 more, man. I mean, that's a lot of money. I would strongly suggest you get the 128 and look at some of the peripherals that I use, that if you need to carry more than 128 gigs worth of stuff with you, you can use cloud services, you can use other things. I'll be telling you about an external hard drive that I use that's very, very handy and not bad on the wallet that will really do the trick. We're going to go with our 128 gigabyte SSD. And then the last thing, of course, is the memory. This thing maxes out at 4 gigs. And the versions you can get it at the Apple store, they'll sell you the 1.8 gigahertz processor, they'll sell you the 256 gigabyte SSD, and they'll sell you the 4 gigs of RAM, but that's not what we want. We want the 128 gigabyte SSD. That you're going to have to order from the online store. Quite honestly, it's just as quick. It'll be at your house within 3 or 4 days. They ship it directly to you from China. And that, the price difference, let's just get it in perspective. The version with the 256 gig SSD, the 4 gigabytes of RAM, and the 1.8 gigahertz processor is going to set you back $1,650. Okay, while on the other hand, if you drop $300 for that SSD and you bring it down to the 128, you're going to pay $1,350 for a machine that is pretty darn respectable. And I haven't even started going into other features that the machine has, such as it's got, let's see, I'm looking at it now, it's got one USB port on the right-hand side, which is nice. It's got another one on the left-hand side. It's got the earphone jack on the left-hand side. It's got a built-in microphone, a built-in camera, and then on the right-hand side, it's got the Thunderbolt jack. And the Thunderbolt jack is really cool because you're going to be able to hook up a bunch of different things like the new cinema display, and more peripherals as Thunderbolt becomes more and more popular are going to come in to play here. And I'm running Windows 7. I'm sure I can run Windows 8 once it's released next year. Like any other Mac, I don't expect to have to update this thing for a couple of years. My previous MacBook I had for 3 years and updated it simply because I wanted to get a smaller, thinner machine because I do a lot of demos of both our Mac and Windows software. I wasn't going to go with a straight PC. So I wanted to get this device. And quite candidly, it has not let me down in speed. It has not let me down in performance. I find it to be a very nice machine. It's very slim. It's got the connector for the electrical. It's got this cool magnetic connector, Michael. You have a MacBook, right?
Yes, it's a magnet, and that way, if it pulls off, it doesn't. You don't damage the cable or anything, or damage your machine.
Right, or if your guide dog just decides that he's going to get up from under the table real quick and hit the cable, which is hanging over the edge, it doesn't knock your machine onto the floor. For $1,350, Michael, this is a great machine. I really, really, really like it. I've had enough time to be carrying it around for 3-4 weeks. The battery life on it, 4.5 hours, doesn't sound like much. But in our current age, remember, folks, most people carry smartphones now. In our current age of smartphones and computers and iPods and all this other stuff, generally, we're not going to keep a laptop running for 4.5 hours on battery just straight. Now, that may be the case, But the power supply for this thing is so small that it will fit in a bag. And one of the solutions that we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks is bags, because one of the things I did find is that bags, when it comes to the MacBook Air, at least for now, a lot of bags are fashion over function. And as blind folks who like to have our hands free, we want to definitely have function over fashion. But I think that you're going to find that the bags that we're going to be reviewing are both fashionable, functional. They are not economical. I will warn you right now. You know, Apple is not cheap. There is nothing cheap about Apple, and it's not cheaply made stuff either. $1,350 is a darn good price for this machine. I'm surprised that it is that that economical. I'm looking out there at these new, what are they called, Ultrabooks that they're trying to put out that are kind of like these MacBook copies, but just running Windows, and they still have not been able to touch the Mac price point. They've kind of been able to match it by including, you know, things like plastic and things like that in the body, but nobody has come out with a device that is as good looking, as sexy, if you could call a computer sexy, as a MacBook Air, and as functional, as powerful. I think I really, really am enamored with this machine. I really don't have anything bad to say about it.
I guess one question we have is, how can a machine that thin really have a good quality responsive keyboard? Talk about that experience.
Well, the keyboard is very full. I don't miss anything about the keyboard compared to my old MacBook 13-inch. Now, I will say that when you're running Windows on the boot camp side, the keys do get changed around a little bit. So instead of having, for example, where you would have your control, your Windows key, and then your Alt key, in Windows, on the MacBook Air, on the Windows side, we have the function key, which is the FN key. We have a control key. Then we have the Alt key. And then we have the Windows key. And then on the right-hand side of the spacebar, we have a Windows key. And then we have a right-hand Alt key. So there is a little getting used to when it comes to hitting keys that you're used to hitting. But, you know, it's funny. I've been doing it so long now that I actually go to a Windows machine and I'm hitting the wrong key to bring up the Windows thing, and I have to remind myself, nope, it's one key over. But besides that, you can really book. I don't know how they've been able to do it, but they've been able to maintain the keyboard size pretty darn well. I mean, I feel very, very comfortable typing on this thing for a long time. For those of you that need to look at the keyboard, it is a backlit keyboard. So that's very helpful when you want to look down at your keys. Of course, that doesn't apply to me, but it's available and it's there.
And those are also things you can do to increase battery life. Turn off the backlit keyboard and reduce the brightness of the display.
You can, and that's very cool. You can actually set that up in the Windows energy settings. As you can tell, I don't use Lion a lot. I'd welcome any comments from any MacBook Air users that use Lion. I use Lion pretty much to demonstrate our software. I find VoiceOver to be functional but not productive yet. I hope I didn't insult any of our listeners. I just haven't taken the plunge, if you will. I use System Access on the Windows side, and I'm real happy with it. And it's zippy. Now on the energy savings stuff, you can bring the screen all the way down. And if you leave it on its lowest setting and you decide, well, I just don't want it on at all, you just hold the function key down and then you hit the F1 key a few times and it'll just turn off the screen. People are, hey, what are you doing? Your screen's dark. You know, but it will give you a little bit longer battery life. I don't know how long, because I've never really ran the screen at full tilt, but I have yet to run out of battery with this thing on the road, and I've spent hours at doctor's offices, and especially here with the guide dog, where it's hurry up and wait, where you're sitting around waiting to take a walk with your guide dog and everything. You know, I've really been able to run it up and use it with Wi-Fi and everything, and I have not run out of battery with it.
Well, very nice. I think you've done a pretty good overview for our first of four segments. And of course, as you mentioned, folks can send your comments, resources at serotalk.com. You can use iReport to put in your two cents or ask a question. And maybe we can play some of those as well. That's, of course, on iBlink Radio for iOS and Android. And, of course, we have the infamous Blab line at 866-997-BLAB-2522.
Thank you, Michael. I'm really excited about this machine. I really think that as blind folks, we need to keep our eyes, if you will, on Apple. I think that this is a great device. You know, the bottom line is people say, well, why do you buy Apple? Well, there's a couple of reasons. A, the quality. I love the build quality, not only on this device, but on any Macintosh product I've purchased. I think that Apple's build quality is spectacular. It's superior to just about anything I've seen on the market. The insides of certain consumer electronics, okay, I can say there's higher megapixels and certain cameras and things like that in the market, but the beauty of Apple stuff is it just works, it's solid, it's a good investment, and the reality is that you can run Windows on a Mac, but you can't run Lion on a Windows PC. So, I'd rather get more by being able to run the two operating systems side by side so that when Lion becomes more productive, and I'm sure it will for me, and I'm not saying it's not productive for others, it's just for me and what I do in my life, it's not productive at this time. I'm sure when it does become more productive, I'll just be able to move right over to Lion, and when I do need to jump into Windows, I can do that as well. Go get one. They're really cool.
All right, join us next week for part 2 of 4, when we'll talk about cases and other cool accessories for your MacBook.
If you found this review useful, or if you wish to contribute your own review, let us know by sending an email to resources@serotalk.com. Send us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB, that's 2522, or send us an iReport on iBlink Radio.